Let's see. Yes, Joni. Well, happy birthday, Connor. Well, I think he's 19, aren't you? Wow. One more year? Wow. Be out of them teenage. Yep. You know what that sounds like? No big deal to me. Well, anyway, happy birthday. I want you to turn to Colossians, and not going to hold you too long. I praise the Lord for the Lord. I think about what he's done for us. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Well, I'm going to start with 1. Instead of just breaking in there. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now you got to let that verse sink in. For ye are dead, and your life, the life that you have, is hid with Christ in God. Now think about that in verse 3. He goes on verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now turn back to Galatians for a moment. In Galatians, and notice in Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law. Remember, you're dead. And that death's through the law. All the law could do was to condemn. The law is spiritual, Paul said, and the holy. The commandment is holy. But then he turns around and he says, but I'm carnal, sold unto sin. And he said, that which brought life became death to me. He said, I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. That's that old man. That's that old life. That's the man that you were, not the man that you are. What you were in Adam, you're dead. And that's great knowledge. And without that knowledge, you can never, ever please the Lord. And many of the members of the body of Christ do not have that knowledge. Look on, he goes on and he said, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The I live, nevertheless, I live is that new man. That inward man. The old man was crucified, but there is an inward man that's living. He said, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's that life. Look back in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're dead. Our life is in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, your old man that you was in Adam is dead. As far as God is concerned, he never comes up. Look in Romans chapter 6 and notice what he says in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified for him. Why y'all shaking y'all's head? It's just a little word. What did it say? With him, not for him. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Not sins, sin. The sin in the context is that old man that was crucified with Christ. That's where your death took place. Your death, that old man died at Calvary. Now look down with me. Come on down in verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, and it does not have any dominion over you. You've already died. There is no death to the believer. He abolished death, the Bible says. He done away with it. And a believer that's in Christ is already dead. Now look what he said. For in that he died, Christ, he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Resurrection. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, the old man, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, the inward man, the new man. The new man that you have inside. That body of Christ. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I tell you, go to chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians, well, make it chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. You see, folks, your death occurred at Calvary. You died. You were crucified with him at Calvary. Nailed between two thieves and robbers, murderer. I mean, bad people. The cross was for sinners. The cross was for criminals. The cross is the capital punishment of the day. We make it a decorative, but if we'd be modern about it, instead of wearing a cross or putting a cross on top of a building somewhere, they'd put an electric chair or a gurney up there with an IV running down in it. The capital punishment, that's what this represents. It represents something that's bad. But it represents to us, we glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? That is the means whereby God can give you eternal life. So he goes to that cross and he is made sin. Not sins. Sin. S-I-N. Sin. That old nature that you are, he became. You say, well, what about a murderer? He had the same nature as a murderer. He became a murderer. He became a robber. He became a liar. He became whatever that old nature can produce. Jesus Christ became sin on that cross. And people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you better believe it. And on that cross, he died for your sins. Why? Well, he was put to death. Now look at this thing. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, that'd be this old body, it's just fading away. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Turn with me and look over with me in, let's go to Colossians again, and look in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and I love verse 9. I mean, he's talking to believers, and look what he said. Verse 9, lie not one to another. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Well, how you put him off? That old man, that old nature, he's like a skeleton around your neck. Paul said, when I do good, evil is present with me. He said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That old man that I am, he hinders me. He keeps me from serving the Lord. The old man don't want to be sitting here today listening to somebody up here hollering at them the old man would rather be somewhere else. The old man would rather be home watching Who Shot Annie. The old man would rather be somewhere other than sitting right here. But look what he said. The old man with his deeds. So how do you put him off? Through knowledge. Knowledge. He said there, have put on the new man, which is renewed in what? How often is the inward man to be renewed? Huh? Day by day. And it's that knowledge of what Christ did for you on that cross. It's that knowledge that your old man has died, has been crucified, and I am alive unto God, and I have a life, and that life is in Christ. Walking in that knowledge. Not trying to please people. Just walking to please the Lord. Having that knowledge, I don't have to worry about sins. My sins are gone. Having that knowledge, do you know what religion loves to do? Religion loves to make people guilty. The religion wants to make them feel guilty and condemn them. Why? Then that way they can get them out of the pews and let them walk the aisle and then count the number. And that's how they judge their spirituality, is how that many they get down in the altar. And if they get them down there and they're weeping and they're crying and they're trying to get better and do have to get the flesh to do better things, you know what they do? They go out and say, boy, God Almighty, come down today. There'd be some preachers. Now, I know one that I heard this morning. They'd be some preachers that I know that if they went to church and if they sang and they shouted and if he never preached another sermon, he'd be happy as a lark as long as they sang and shout, glory of God, power of God, chill bumps, feeling good, doing all this, jumping, and never ever opened the Bible, they'd be happy. Why? Something about this book. It's something about this book, rightly divided, that just disturbs people. It tears them up. Well, folks, that old man, it's not in that, it's in knowledge. It's walking in knowledge. It's being, as Romans 8:1 says, there therefore now is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, what is walking toward the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is walking in the knowledge that everything's been done for you and you're not condemned. And you cannot accomplish that in your flesh. Your flesh can never please God. This old man, look what he said, and have put on and be renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You see verse 11? Do you see the first word in that verse? What is it? Where? Does that denote a place? So somewhere, that's where you're supposed to be. In renewed knowledge. Turn to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm talking about your spiritual life. I'm talking about your life that you have in Christ. You've got to realize you have a life. Your job is not your life. People make their job their life and they can never give it up. My life is in the ministry. My life evolves around my ministry and the Lord and the preaching and Christ. Some people's life is in things that they own. We'll look at that in a moment. But look what he says. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. And notice what he says in verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the former life of the old man, the things that he gloried in. How do you put them off? You reckon him dead. You have that knowledge that he's been crucified. He's dead. And you are alive unto God. And you're a spiritual being. You know that, well, look on. He said, there which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old man speaks corrupt things. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, how do you put him on? By knowledge. How do you renew him? How do you give him strength? By knowledge. You want to be close to the Lord? Get close to this book. You want to be close to him? Do you want to know the power of God? Then get in Romans through Philemon and begin to read Romans through Philemon. And you absorb what that Paul, your apostle, says to you. And you begin to read it. And then you begin to let the Spirit of God. Do you know how the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and lead you? When things come in your mind, scriptures will pop in your mind. You have questions about things. Verses will begin to click up here. And that's the Spirit of God. That's how you walk in the Spirit. That's in the knowledge of what Christ has done for you, not the flesh. Look what he says. You're there at Ephesians. Turn over to our Galatians. Go back with me in Galatians. In Galatians chapter, notice the flesh, how it does. In verse 16, chapter 5, verse 16. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. See that capital S? That's the Holy Spirit. That's not walking, woohoo, woohoo, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, ever, wherever breath you're going down on your job, wherever in the grocery store, hey man, praise God, woohoo, hallelujah. That's not walking in the Spirit. You know what the majority of that is? That's exalting the flesh. Most of the time, people that's like that think they're more holier than somebody else that don't express it that way. And here's a member of the body of Christ, and they don't have that expression. Maybe they're timid, or maybe they have a different nature about them, or whatever, but they don't do that. You know what them that do that, look at that one and say, well, you're just dead. Well, I am dead, but I'm alive unto the Lord. I know him. You know how I know him? Right out of this book. Do you know everything I know about him? I got out of this book. But look on. He says this. Now let me, before I even go on, I'm not critic. If you want to stand up and say praise the Lord and give your testimony, or if you want to say amen, I want you to do that. Nothing wrong in that. But don't do it to exalt yourself, and don't do it because you got a cabin in the corner of glory land somewhere and all that stuff. Don't do it over that. If you want to praise him, you exalt him right here. Do you know what praising the Lord, what God the Father would consider to be? Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He said to the Corinthians, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you know what exalts the Lord? When we exalt him and the work that he did for you, and we lift him up for the salvation that he's provided for you, and on the thing goes. And we live in a day where people are so religious. They don't even know the God of this Bible. They know the God of religion. Why, the Bible says there, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and it shone in our heart into the face of Jesus Christ. You know where you want to see the image of the Lord? You look at the cross. You look at the gospel. You look at what Jesus did for you. That's what glorifies the Lord. Through preaching. And that's manifesting his word through preaching. But look what he goes on. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That word lust there has to do with desire. Sometimes it's a greedy desire. And these are contrary the one to the other, and so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. The Spirit doesn't lead you. How does He lead you? He leads you through knowledge of this book, that you're dead to the law, that you're freed from the law, that you died with Christ. Your sins is gone. There is no condemnation to you. There is nothing about you that's guilt or nothing like that. Why? Jesus Christ has took it away. That's good news to me. And some people say, well, that's just a license to sin. You're going to sin anyway. You don't need a license. But look on. Verse 20. Come over to verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And that's in knowledge. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Now we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians in a moment, but look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, notice what he said. In verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That would be the salvation of your body. That would be the coming of the Lord. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Well, what is the armor of light? Armor of light has the knowledge. It's the armor of the Lord. He lists the armor in Ephesians chapter 6. He said a shield of faith. You know what that faith is? That's not your faith. My faith? Well, the devil can shoot holes in my faith. That's his faith. The armor of light, having that knowledge of His righteousness. There's the breastplate of righteousness, not my righteousness. My righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. His righteousness is what's been put to my account. I have a knowledge of that. I have a knowledge that I'm righteous in Christ. I'm putting on the armor of light that Satan hates through knowledge. Now look on, he goes on, verse 3. He said in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and in chamberlain and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Now watch what he said. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two things that I want to mention about this. Galatians chapter 3. Notice in verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now watch it. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ. Now notice verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, I've told y'all many times, I've been baptized 5 times. I've been in all of it. Ponds, lakes, rivers, creeks, what a baptistry, running water, still water, it don't matter. Cold water, warm water. I've had it all 5 times. And June's about that many. But anyway, June's been baptized. I've been baptized in water all them times. I went in as a male and I come out as a male. Well, then that can't be the baptism he's talking about. Because this baptism says you put on Christ, and there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You remember the word Paul said in Colossians 3:11, where? When he's talking about the Lord. Look back there again. In Colossians 3:10, notice what he says. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Well, don't you understand? That's when you get saved, you're put into the body of Christ. That body of Christ is a body of righteousness. It's the body of Christ. You understand? And that you have Christ identity. You one time was in Adam back here. One time you was condemned. One time you had death sentence on you. Over here is death. Over here is life. And that life is Jesus Christ. It's His life. You have His identity. Over here, unrighteous. Over here, righteousness. On and on the thing goes. Now look what he said. Turn with me and go to, he said there back in Galatians, he said, for as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's when you were baptized into the body. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Then that's a spiritual baptism. There's not a drop of water in Galatians chapter 3. There's not a drop of water in this baptism here. Look in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, notice he talks about baptism again. In Romans chapter 6, notice what he says there in verse 1. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, where? Into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Folks, that's identification. We were baptized, identified in Christ. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we realize, but listen, we didn't know that the night that I got saved. I just wanted to get saved. I wanted peace. I didn't know nothing about no body of Christ. I didn't know nothing about no identity. I didn't know nothing about anything. I knew I was lost. I knew I was going to hell. I wanted peace. I wanted to have eternal life. And I asked the Lord to save me. And the Lord did. And then God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And coming unto the knowledge of the truth is when you begin to put on Christ. Now, you say, yeah, but when we were baptized, we put on Christ. Now let's see. Now look back. Romans chapter 6. He said in verse 4, therefore we're buried with Him by baptism into death. That's His death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. His life. Christ, who is our life. It's His life. I am crucified with Christ. I live by the faith of the Son of God, yet nevertheless I live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. I'm concerned about Christ. You know who my life is? My life is Christ. It's not my preaching, and it's my ministry, but it's Christ. Your life is Christ. It's not your everyday affairs. It's not what you're going to do tomorrow. I have a life to live. I'm going to live my life. Your life is Christ. Why did God leave you here? He could have just took you right out of here when you got saved. But He left you here for a purpose, and that purpose is His Son. That purpose is to get the gospel out. That purpose is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life in on this planet is not getting up working every day and raising a family. Your life is Christ. And if Christ ain't the center of your life, then you're not walking in the Spirit. Y'all understand where I'm getting? Christ. Say, well, we're not supposed to. Yes, you are to raise your family, but you're to raise your family in honor of Christ. Whatsoever thou shalt do, do to the glory of God. You're to go to work tomorrow. Do you know why you go to work tomorrow? Your job supports your life of Christ. I come up here and I teach. I preach. Why? To exalt Christ. Not myself. Him. What He's done. My life is Him. And that's your life if you're saved. When Christ. Who is our life? You say, well, I thought that was eternal. Daddy, well, we do have eternal life, and it is His eternal life. But Paul, life, look with me again. Turn over to Philippians. Everything we do, whether it get up in the morning, go to work, you do for the glory of God. You know that? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, you do for the glory of the Lord. Philippians, look what he says in Philippians. Notice what he says there in verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified where? In my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. That would be His gain. But for me to live is Christ. Paul's life was Christ. Paul did what he did. He was a tent maker, but he did it for Christ's sake. We have jobs, we have families, and we should love our children, we should love our family, and we should honor and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to honor Christ. Why? Christ is our life. You say, it's not the air going in and out and the heart that's the pumping, that's your life. It's the things that you do. Christ is your life if you're saved. Now look back in Romans 13. Now Galatians says you're baptized, you put on Christ. And Romans chapter 13, he says in verse 14, he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you see, I didn't have no control over the first putting on. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, I went into the body of Christ. I have His identity, whether or not I knew it or not. That has to do with the knowledge of God knowing me. But then after I am in there, then I'm to study, I'm to be taught, I'm to listen, I'm to grow in the grace and the knowledge. And as I grow and rightly divide this Bible, then I begin to grow in knowledge and I put on Christ. I understand what He did for me. And the more I understand, the more I put on Christ in my life. And it has to do with knowledge. And being renewed. Folks, it ain't got nothing to do with our ceremonies or anything like that. It's got to do with what you believe. It's like Brother Jason said. You ain't never been in a denominational church. You don't know what you're missing. No, you didn't say that. Folks, it's different. It's different. Most of the preaching is done out of the Old Testament under the law. Most of it has nothing to do with what I told you about. God has a wealth of knowledge in Romans through Philemon for you. Your apostle, the Apostle Paul, and I don't magnify him, I magnify his office. He's the spokesman that God used to write 13 books to me as a member of the body of Christ. And in them 13 books is the walk and destiny of the church. In them 13 books you have your inheritance laid out for you. What you're going to be doing in eternity. In them 13 books, there's everything you need to survive in this world. You say, oh, well, we don't need all the Bibles for me, but it's not all to me. I'm talking doctrine here. Of course I read Genesis through a Revelation. I read the Hebrew epistles. I want to see and I read them and understand where they fit in God's timeline. And I look back in the Old Testament and I see how God worked back there to those people back there. I mean, here's a man that goes out one time and Joshua tells him, said, don't touch the cursed thing. And Achan goes on out there and he sees a Babylonian garment. He sees a wedge of gold, which is an idol. And he lusts after it. And he takes that wedge of gold and that Babylonian garment and takes it back to his tent, hides it under his stuff. And Israel begins to... I like to read that. You know what happened to that man? Israel was losing the battles. And God said, Joshua was down praying, and the Lord just spoke to him and said, get up. What are you doing down there? He said, there's sin in the camp. And they drew the line, and anyway, cast the lots, and come down to tribe after tribe, and they went through to come to Achan's tribe, then they come to family, then they come to Achan's dad, and then they come down, and there's old Achan. Where's he at? Well, he's down there. Finally, they get him up there, and Joshua says, tell me what you did. And he tells him, I just took this wedge of gold and this Babylon garment. We was in battle and there it was and I just took it. Do you know what they did? They took Achan out. And not just Achan. They took his wife, his children, all of his family, his stuff. And they stoned him and burnt everything he had. Now, how'd you like to live back in them times? It's God of the Bible. People say, back to Pentecost. I want to be in Pentecost where the power of God is. Really? There was a man that had a parcel of ground. And he sold it. I just use a figure. He sold his couple acres, whatever it was, some land. And let's just say he sold it for $10,000. He gets his $10,000, and Sapphire, that's his wife, and I always think of her wearing a big old hat and a feather stuck out in there, Sapphire. I don't know why I think of that. I just think of that. And they get together and they say, well, we're going to give all this to the church. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Well, they don't know how much we got. Let's just give that. We can just give that is what we got. Well, let's just keep back half. Nah. How about let's keep $7,500 and we'll give the $2,500. So here they come and here they come in, and Ananias brings it and lays it down at the apostles' feet. This is what I got for that land. And Peter looks at him and says, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? While this land was yours, it was yours to do what you wanted to. But why did you come in here to lie about it? Do you know what happened to Ananias? Said he fell down dead right there. And there were some young men there, and they got him up and took him out and buried him. Didn't even tell his family that he died and was buried. Here comes Sapphire's wife in, that feather just a second, and she's bouncing in there. Peter says, Sapphire, did you have a land and you sold it for some? Yes, we sold it. We give $2,500, got $2,500 for it. Isn't that wonderful? We just serving the Lord. Peter said, the same feet that carried your husband out is going to carry you out. And she fell down dead. Now I ask you something. How would you like to be a member of that church? You want to live back in them times? Do you realize you live in the greatest dispensation in the Bible? And we live in grace. And we ought to walk in grace. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you coming. So I hope you got something out.